Our one verse that we're going to read tonight, and it's in Matthew's Gospel in chapter number 27. Matthew chapter 27, and we're going to read just verse number 22. Verse 22 of Matthew 27. Pilate said unto them, "What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ?" And they all say to him, "Let him be crucified." So the question we're going to look at tonight is the question that was asked by Pilate. What shall I do then with Jesus? And that's the question that Pilate asked, but it's the question that I'm going to ask tonight. It's the question that I'm going to ask to every heart that's present tonight. What shall you do with Jesus? That's really the most important question that anyone can really answer. It's the most important question that we can take time to address. What are we going to do with Jesus? Pilate had to make a decision. A decision about the Lord Jesus. And tonight in this little meeting, you've got to make a decision. The same decision that Pilate made. You're going to have to make a decision about what you're going to do with Jesus. I think Pilate must be one of the saddest characters in the whole of the Bible. One of the weakest characters in the Bible. The sad thing about Pilate was simply this, that he knew the right thing to do, but he didn't have the courage to do it. He knew the right thing to do, but didn't have the courage to do it. He knew the right decision to make, but he just didn't find it within himself to make it. And oh, the tragic consequences for Pilate in making the wrong decision about Jesus. There's maybe some in the meeting tonight, and you know within your heart of hearts the right thing to do. You know within your heart tonight the right thing, the right decision to make in relation to the Lord Jesus. But up until this point in time, you've never done the right thing. You've never taken the right step. You've never made the right decision because of fear. Because of some other influence that's coming into your life. And although you know the right thing to do, up until this moment of time, you've never done it. But Pilate knew that for him, decision time had come. Pilate knew that he couldn't put off this matter any longer. He was forced to make a decision that very day about the Lord Jesus. But trust my friend, before the meeting's finished, that you will realise that decision time for you has come. That you can't put off the matter, you can't postpone it any longer. But tonight, before the meeting's finished, you as an individual will need to make a decision about the Lord Jesus. You see, as far as Pilate was concerned, he had heard about the Lord Jesus. But now he was face to face with the Lord Jesus. You see, as far as Pilate was concerned, he was the governor of the whole of the land of Palestine. And no doubt words had filtered back to his ears that there was a man called Jesus, a great prophet, a great miracle worker. And he was making his way up and down the land and he was doing great things and there was crowds following. And he'd heard all about Jesus. But it didn't really concern him individually. It didn't have any personal impact on his life until this day when suddenly the Lord Jesus was standing before him. He was confronted with the Lord and he must make a decision about him. There was no escape. And maybe you're just like a wee bit like that tonight. And for many years you've heard about the Lord Jesus. You've known about him from your childhood day, from your Sunday school days, and you've always had some idea, some concept in your mind about this man called Jesus, but he wasn't really relevant to your life until now. Now he's just sitting in this little meeting. And as you're sat in these meetings and nights gone past, you've suddenly realized, wait a minute, this man is relevant to my life. And you're coming to that point when you realize that you've got to make a decision about him. You've got to make a decision about Jesus. You see, Pilate had heard about him. He had heard about the great things that the Lord Jesus had done. He'd heard about the change that he'd made in people's lives. He heard about how people had actually left everything to follow him. Pilate had lost two of his employees to Jesus. He'd lost the chief tax collector, Zacchaeus. He'd lost one of the other tax collectors called Matthew. These two men had encountered Jesus Christ in their life, and they had given up everything for Christ, and their lives had been changed, and Pilate knew that. Now the Lord Jesus, this one that could change people's lives, that could forgive sins, was standing before them, before him. What would he do? What would he do? Maybe you're in the meeting tonight and you've heard about how the Lord Jesus Christ has changed the lives of us. You have seen the impact that the Lord has had in the lives of some of your family and your friends and your neighbours, and you've seen it firsthand, the tremendous impact, the change that Christ has made. But the big question tonight is simply this: will you allow Christ to make that change in your life? Are you prepared to take that decision to follow him? Are you prepared to take that decision to yield your all to him, to receive him? Or I wonder, despite the fact that you know what Christ has done in the lives of others and what he can do in your life, are you prepared to be like Pilate, to reject him? Because there's only really two decisions that you can make tonight. You either make a decision to receive the Lord Jesus, or you make a decision to reject him. There's no middle ground. There was no hiding place for Pilate. There's no hiding place for you tonight. You're going to make a decision either to receive or to reject Christ. The Bible makes it perfectly clear that Pilate knew the right thing to do and was determined to do the right thing. That's what we read in the Acts of the Apostles in chapter 3. It says that he was determined to let him go. He was determined to let him go. My friend, how close he was, eh? There he was gazing into the face of the Lord Jesus. He was listening to the words of the Lord Jesus. He was watching the deportment of the Lord Jesus. And he realized that here was a man that was different. He was a man that stood unique and distinct from all other men that had stood before him. There was not a man like the Lord Jesus Christ. And Pilate was determined to let him go, to take sides with him. But despite his determination, he allowed himself to be swayed by public opinion. And he rejected Christ. He rejected Christ. Well, my friend, maybe in your heart of hearts tonight, you know that there's nobody like Jesus. Pilate could say, you know, he says, I find no fault in him. Though this man has done nothing worthy of death. This man is upright. This man is moral. This man is beyond the law. Pilate knew all these things about the Lord Jesus. And he was determined to let him go. Maybe you know all these things about the Lord Jesus. You know the uniqueness of Christ. You know that the Lord Jesus is sinless. You know that he's the only Savior. You know that he's the eternal Son of God. And yet you're still at that place tonight. When you're halting between two opinions, when you're flitting from branch to branch, and you're saying, what will I do with him? What will I do about Jesus? What will I do with him? My friend, before the meeting's finished, you're going to have to come off the fence. You're going to have to come down on one side or the other. Just as Pilate had to come off the fence, you had to make a decision about the Lord Jesus. The Bible tells us not only that he was determined to let him go, it says that he was seeking to let him go. It says he was willing to release him. You see, there was everything from the inward being of this man that was telling him, that was shouting him out, that the right thing to do was to let Christ go, was to take sides with him, to make a stand and say, listen, this is the Son of God. This man is sinless. This man has done nothing wrong. This man is worthy of our trust. This man is worthy of us being his disciple. And everything within Pilate was shouting him, take sides with Jesus. Trust in him. Yet despite all that inner turmoil and that inner knowledge that he had, he still let him go. Maybe you're here tonight and you know in the heart of hearts, you know that Christ is worthy of your trust. You know that Christ is worthy of you becoming his disciple. You know that the Lord Jesus Christ is the only one that can save you from your sins. You know that he loves you and he loves you unto death. And you know that the right thing to do tonight is to trust him, and you want to trust him. But maybe you're still like Pilate. And you're not being faithful to yourself and to your own feelings and to your own knowledge and your own instincts. And you're not even been faithful to the promptings of the Holy Spirit. And despite the fact that you know the right thing to do, you're still not prepared to do it. You're still not prepared to do it. I noticed that Pilate tried to pass the buck, you know. You know, he was confronted with the Lord Jesus Christ. The first thing he did was, well, let's send him to Pilate. Let's send him to Herod. Let Herod make the decision. Let the chief priest make the decision. Let the crowd make the decision. Let everybody else make the decision, but not me. Not me. Maybe that's what you feel about it tonight. And you say, well, other people can make a decision about Christ, but I don't want to be involved. I want just to remain neutral. I want just to sit in that fence. And maybe you're just trying to pass the buck around. Yeah, well, it's all right for your family. It's all right for the folks in the hall. It's all right for these people. You see, Pilate tried to pass it around. But my friend, he came to this realization that the buck stopped here. The buck stopped with him. There was no escape. There was no passing it around. He is an individual. He had to make his own personal choice about the Lord Jesus. And you have to make yours tonight. The buck stops here. Choose you this day. What will I do, says Pilate? What will I do with Jesus, which is called the Christ? What will I do? My friend, that's the question that comes to you tonight. What are you going to do with Jesus? What are you going to do with the Lord? What are you going to do with the Savior of sinners? What are you going to do with God's Son tonight? What are you going to do with him? It's you, my friend. It's nobody else. It's not your sister. It's not your brother. It's not your daughter. It's not your son. It's not your neighbor. It's not the person. It's what will you do with him tonight? It's you and him. Pilate tried to compromise. And all the time there's a crowd around him and they're baying for the blood of Jesus. They're crying for his death. They want rid of him. Pilate's conscience is saying, no, take sides with him, let him go. He's a just man, he's a good man, he's the Son of God. Let him go, take sides with him. Pilate thought he would try to please his own conscience and please the crowd at the same time. He tried to make a compromise. And he ordered the soldiers to scourge Christ. There was no reason why he should have been scourged. Pilate knew that he was innocent. Pilate knew that there was no chaff could ever stick against this man. He was above the law. He knew that for envy the Jews had delivered him. He knew that all the accusations were false. And yet he says to the soldiers, take him and scourge him. And the Lord Jesus Christ was led away. And his garments were stripped from his body. And these cruel soldiers took that scourge, that whip, and they lashed his back until the very flesh was ripped from his bones. And when men were finished with him, according to the prophet Isaiah, that his face wasn't even recognizable as a human face, and his form was marred more than the sons of men. And Pilate brought him back before the crowd, and he says, look at the man, look at the man, look at the man, look at him. Look at the state that he's in. Look at the sufferings that he's experienced. Look at the wounds. Look at the bleeding. Behold the man. I think Pilate was looking for the sympathy vote. I think Pilate thought that the crowd would take one look at him and say, yes, he's had enough. Let him go. And you see, if the crowd had said, well, just let him go, that was Pilate had got off the hook. Pilate had got off the hook. That he'd pleased the crowd and he'd salved his own conscience at the same time. He'd made a great big compromise. He'd get off the hook. My friend, I want to tell you, there's no hook to get off as far as your decision tonight is concerned. And there was no getting off the hook for Pilate either. Because the minute they saw the Lord Jesus Christ despite the fact that he was caked in his own blood. They said, listen, away with him, crucify him, crucify him, get rid of him. Poor Pilate sitting there in the judgment throne, desperate. Just hardly knew where to turn, in an absolute turmoil. What was he going to do? What was he going to do with Jesus? There was no compromise. There was no way out. He would need to make a clear-cut decision about Christ. My friend, there's no compromise for you tonight. You'll need to make a clear-cut decision about Christ. Some people try to compromise and say, well, I know what we'll do. I mean, I'll start coming to more meetings. And I'll even buy a Bible and I'll start to read a wee bit every day. And I'll even pray. And I'll try to live a good life and I'll associate with good people. My friend, listen, that's not what the Lord's asking you to do. The Lord's asking you to trust Him. He's not asking you to become religious. He's not asking you to tart up your life. He's not asking you to clean up your act. He's saying, listen, there's only one decision I want you to make, and that is to put your trust in me, to receive me, to acknowledge me as your Savior and Lord. That's all. Can't compromise. It's a clear-cut decision tonight you'll need to make, either to receive or reject Christ. What's it going to be? What will you do with Jesus? Pilate decided he would wash his hands of the whole business. He's really getting desperate, isn't he? And everything's crying out him. Everything's crying. Let him go. His own conscience, his own wife was wakened by a dream. And she rushed through to Pilate and said, I've nothing to do with this just man. God's speaking to him. Imagine God, eh? Imagine God even causing Pilate's wife to have a dream. To appeal to the man's conscience, to get through to his heart, to speak to his soul. Well, my friend, maybe in the past weeks, maybe God's been speaking to your heart. Not only through the preaching, but maybe through the circumstances of your life. Aye, maybe even a dream. God's been speaking to you. And God's been saying, listen, you'll need to make a decision about my son. You'll need to come to the crisis. You'll need to come to that crisis point in your life. You'll need to make a personal decision about the Lord Jesus. And the Spirit of God has been striving and telling you, you'll need to trust Him. You need to trust Him. Well, my friend, isn't it sad that despite all the opportunity that Pilate had and all the knowledge that he had and the promptings of his own conscience, they thought he could just walk away from it all. And he asked for a basin to be brought, and he washed his hands in water, and he says, that's me, I'm finished with it. I'm innocent of the blood of this just man. It's nothing to do with me. It's nothing to do with me. It's nothing to do with me. And he thought he was in the clear. How sad. Imagine thinking a few drops of water was going to clear his conscience. Death of Christ. My friend, I want to tell you, there's nothing can get you into the clear tonight. You've got to make a decision about Christ. You've either got to receive Him as your Saviour or reject Him. That's the clear-cut decision that you've got to make tonight. You can't back out of it. You can't pretend that it's not for you. It is for you. It was for Pilate. It's for me. It's for you. It's for every one of us. We've got to make our own personal decision about the Lord Jesus. Pilate says, I'm innocent. My friend, he's guilty. 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 Guilty of the blood of Jesus. My friend, I want to say tonight, you're guilty tonight. The Bible says the whole world is guilty, that every mouth is closed, is shut before God. We're all guilty in our sins. We're guilty of the blood of Jesus. Because that precious blood that was shed at Calvary was shed for my sins. That I'm the guilty one, you're the guilty ones, that Jesus died for, that Jesus shed His blood for in Calvary. And there's not one of us can hold up our hands tonight and say, I'm innocent, because we're guilty, and Pilate was guilty. There's no amount of water, whether it's the water of baptism sprinkled on our head or that we plunge into, my friend, the water of baptism will never cleanse us, will never take away our guilt.
My friend, there's only one way for our guilt to be removed. And it's when we come and we confess it before God and we ask for the cleansing power of the precious blood of the Lord Jesus, that blood that was shed at Calvary. My friend, the Lord Jesus wants you to come to Him tonight. He wants you to take sides with Him. He wants you personally tonight to acknowledge Him as your Saviour and your Lord. He wants you to trust in Him for your personal Saviour. Pilate thought, you know, that he wouldn't be held accountable for what happened that day. He thought, you know, he had got, he'd stepped out of the situation and then the other people would be held accountable, but not him. My friend, there's going to become a day when Pilate's going to be held accountable for the decision he made that day. What a day that will be. There's coming a day when you're going to be held accountable for the decision that you made. Or you might just pass it off tonight. You might never come back. You might think the preaching's too strong and it's too personal or it's too this or it's too that. But my friend, I want to tell you, when the crunch comes, you're going to be held accountable before God for the decision you make about Jesus Christ. I'll be held accountable for my decision. You'll be held accountable for yours. Now, what will you do with Jesus tonight? What will you do with Jesus, which is called the Christ? What will you do? As a wee boy of 9, I made my decision. I made a decision to trust the Lord Jesus, to receive Him as my Lord and Master. And I tell you, He's not a disappointment. He's been to me all that He's ever promised to be. I've made my decision. What about you tonight? What will you do with Jesus? I suppose one of the things that Pilate failed to realise was he wasn't going to have a chance to make another decision. That the decision he made that day was going to seal his destiny for all eternity. He wouldn't get another chance to change his mind. That's how serious it was. That's how awesome it was. But that moment when Christ stood before him was going to seal his destiny for eternity. My friend, the decision that you make tonight is going to seal your destiny for eternity. That's how serious it is. That's how awesome it is. That's why I don't play about at meetings and play about with fancy sermons, my friend. It's too big a matter for that. It's too serious a matter. It's too urgent for that. Because there's people tonight and you're going to make decisions about the Lord Jesus that's going to affect who you'll be forever. And where's Pilate tonight? Where's Pilate tonight? Where's Pilate? Remember one night, like a few weeks ago, we looked at that verse in the book of Job. Man dies, man wastes away, man gives up the ghost. Where is he? Where is he? Where's Pilate? Is he in heaven? Or is he in hell? I think we all know the answer to that. How could he possibly be with Christ? How could he possibly be in the presence of the Lord when down here he rejected Him, he said no to Him? He's in hell. Languishing in torment in hell. How do you ever expect to be in heaven? If you're still saying in your heart no to God, no to Christ. How do you ever expect to be in the presence of the Lord forever if down here and up you have refused to take sides with Him and to associate yourself with Him and to put your faith in Him? How can you possibly be in heaven if you're not prepared to make that decision to receive Christ? My friend, if you refuse Christ, then you'll never see heaven. But you'll experience hell with Pilate. And every other Christ rejecter. Forever. You see, Pilate thought in a few minutes it'll all be over. I don't know what his final thoughts would be as he saw the body of the Lord Jesus, as he saw the Lord Jesus making his way out of the judgment hall. As he he saw that robe that was saturated in his blood, as he saw that crown of thorns in the brow of the Lord Jesus, as he saw that body that was so bruised and wounded, as he saw that heavy cross in the back of Christ, I don't know what he thought. He maybe thought, well, that's it, I've escaped. What he didn't realise was there was going to come a day when he would see Christ again. He's still awaiting that day, but there's coming a day when Pilate will see Christ again, and the Lord Jesus will be sitting on a throne, a judgment throne, and he'll be gazing with those all-piercing eyes into the eyes of Pilate. And the tables will be turned on that occasion. It'll no longer be a question of what Pilate's going to do with Jesus, but it's a question of what Jesus is going to do with Pilate. What decision is Jesus going to make? And Pilate will stand and tremble before the Lord Jesus, knowing that he'd made the wrong decision and that he'd sealed his destiny for eternity in the lake of fire forever. My friend tonight, you can just turn away from Christ. You can just say, well, he's not really relevant to me, and I just want to live my own life. I don't want to get too involved with him. And you can just in your heart reject Christ. But that won't be the end of the matter. Well, he might never speak to you again. You might never hear the appeal of the gospel again. But there's coming a day when you'll see him. When you'll stand before him at that great white throne judgment. When your mouth will be closed. You'll have nothing to say. You'll have no excuse to bring. And you'll await that moment when he'll cast you out of his presence into the lake of fire. My friend, what will you do with Jesus tonight? He was called the Christ. What will you do with him? The Messiah, the great Saviour, the Deliverer, the Son of God. What will you do with him tonight? Because your decision about him is going to affect where you're going to be in eternity. Pilate made the wrong decision. Even though he knew the right thing to do, he made the wrong decision. Why? Pressure. Popularity. The pressure from the crowd. Wanting to know, wanting to experience the popularity of his peers. He knew the right thing to do. What about the crowd? The crowd were baying for his blood. The crowd were crying away with him. The crowd were crying, crucify him. The crowd had rejected him. What would Pilate do? What would Pilate do? The crowd out there outside is rejecting Christ and the other. We're living in a world that has rejected the Saviour, that's got no time for him. But what about you tonight? Are you going to listen to the cries, the appeals, the pressure of the crowd? And I wonder, are you going to say, listen, I know the right thing to do. I'm a sinner. I need a Saviour. There's only one Saviour available, and it's Christ. And I'm going to trust him tonight. I'm going to take sides with him. I'm going to receive him. I'm going to make him Lord of my life. I'm going to follow him. He's going to become my all, regardless of what others say and what others do. For me, it's Christ. Well, Pilate wanted to be friends with everyone. He ended up being friends with nobody. 7 years later, he lost his job, died a suicide death, plunged into the darkest, deepest hell. That was his experience. Oh, my friend, what about you tonight? Is it popularity that keeps you back? Your friends out there in the world, your family, you don't want to lose their respect, you don't want to lose their esteem, you don't want to lose your popularity among them. And you think, if I become a Christian, if I take sides with the Lord Jesus, you know, I'm going to look silly, and I'm going to be laughed at, and people are going to think I'm strange. Eh? And it's the pressure and the popularity of the crowd. Oh, my friend, don't make the decision that Pilate made. Don't be persuaded by others, but be persuaded by your own conscience tonight. Be persuaded by the promptings of the Holy Spirit, and tonight, choose wisely. Choose well. choose Christ, what will you do then with Jesus, which is called the Christ? You can't be neutral. There's no fines to sit on. Tonight, right now, you've got to make a decision, either to receive or to reject Christ. It's not directed to your neighbour. It's not directed to anybody else. The message is directed to you tonight. Choose you this day whom you will serve. What will you do tonight with Jesus, who is called the Christ? Let's pray. Our Father, we just bow again in thy holy presence and thank thee for the simplicity of the message and yet the challenge of the message. It comes, O God, to all our hearts tonight, the need to make a decision about the Lord Jesus. We thank, O God, of the crowd outside, the world outside, that has really by and large rejected the Lord Jesus. The majority has said no, just like 2,000 years ago. But we thank, O God, that even at the cross there were those that said yes. There were those that took sides with the Lord Jesus. And what blessings they came into when the Lord Jesus rose triumphantly from the dead. And we thank, O God, of the blessings that they experienced because they had come to know the Lord Jesus. They'd come to love him and they'd associated themselves by faith with him. And we thank, O God, of the situation today where the world is saying no, but those, O God, that say yes to the Lord Jesus, those that receive him, we thank, O God, of the blessings which are theirs now and the blessings which will be theirs for all eternity by just simply taking sides with Christ, receiving him by faith and acknowledging him as Lord and Saviour. And so we ask that they would give deciding grace to those, O God, that are presently halting between two opinions. We pray, O God, that they would give them deciding grace just to come right through for the Lord Jesus and say, regardless of what others are doing, I'm going to trust him tonight. I'm going to receive him. I'm going to give my life completely over to him. So, our Father, we just pray for that deciding grace as we ask for a blessing and parting in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll just sing a verse of a hymn just to close the meeting. It's hymn number 251. Almost persuaded now to believe, almost persuaded Christ to receive. Seems now some soul to say, go, Spirit, go thy way. Some more convenient day on thee I'll call. Almost persuaded, come, come today. Almost persuaded, turn not away. Jesus invites you here. Angels are lingering near. Prayers rise from hearts so dear. Oh, wanderer, come. We're just going to remain seated and we'll sing the last verse, verse 3 of hymn number 251. And after we've sung this verse, the meeting is over. We just thank you again for coming tonight.